two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What's up, Cougar Nation? This is Tyler Batty.
Tyler Batty again.
Tyler Batty comes in the game and right off the edge, just a three-man rush.
It's another week here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, and we're joined now by BYU defensive lineman Tyler Batty. Tyler, good to talk with you again. I know that it's been an eventful week for the BYU football program this past few days.
Yeah, man, great to be back. Happy to be back in the studio here, and yes, it has been very eventful.
It's been a lot of fun, and you can follow Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_Batty2, and then Tyler_Batty on Instagram. So let's just get it out of the way real quick. Got a little bit nicked up in the Baylor game. What are we saying, day-to-day right now, just trying to go through the process?
Yeah, pretty much. Just got a little beat up, got a little nicked up, and so, yeah, just trying to come back and make sure that we're ready to go. So,
what was how tough was that to have to leave that game early?
Brutal. if we're being honest, yep. I think any game, I think you're, at least me, I love playing football, right? You want to be on the field all the time. You want to be on the field 24/7, especially if there's something going. I hate even getting subbed out. it was tough. It was tough to just kind of see how things progressed and not be able to influence the game at all. But our guys did really well. Honestly, I'm really proud of how everyone stepped up and just played, man, and ball out. So it was awesome to see.
And Kalani pointed out in the post game that you came out and still supported your team. What was the significance behind that, to still be out there with the guys in that moment against a top 10 team?
At that point, I mean, I couldn't put an on-field product out there, right? And so I just wanted to make sure that I was still contributing in whatever, yeah, honestly, whatever way I could. And I love those guys, right? And I just wanted to, if there was anything that I could do, you know what I mean? I wanted to do it. But yeah, it was definitely tough to have to sit back and watch.
BYU gets the win, 26-20 in double overtime. What did you think of the defensive performance for you individually, but then also when you got back to the building on Monday, what was and the defensive coaches feeling about the way you guys played in that game?
Yeah, I got a little bit. I honestly didn't see too much action, just shy of two quarters, and they practically played another four after that, honestly. No, yeah. But two more quarters. The second half, you know, was really intense and fast-paced, and then two overtimes, right? That's a lot of game time. That's a lot of snaps. I went out there, and I tried to put, you know, what I could on the field and tried to get after it, and honestly, I had fun in the snaps I did take. And then, honestly, our overall defensive performance, guys were really, coaches were happy with it. Let me preface that by saying, there is always things that can be improved, right?
Sure.
No one's ever played a perfect game. Yeah. But I think our dudes did really good. I think they went out and they put a very physical, sound performance on tape. And it was fun, right? It was fun to see the defense eat up the run, you know what I mean? And then they turn around and try to pass it, and balls are getting broken up, and people are making plays on balls, and you know, the quarterback's getting sacked. That stuff's fun. And so I think overall, the defense did a good job, right? I think they did a good job. And like I said before, there's always things to improve, but yeah, I would say we're, you know, fairly happy with how we turned. You know, we got the win, yeah. So you have to be grateful for that.
The physicality piece that you mentioned, that was a big talking point going into that matchup against Baylor. Just maybe in the, you know, quarter and a half that you played, how physical was that matchup? Because just from watching in the press box, it looked like every snap was intense, and the physicality looked like it was on display from afar. I can only imagine what that was like lining up against that Baylor front.
Yeah, it was. Props to Baylor, right? They're just a well coached, tough team. And so it was a battle. It was a battle in the trenches. And I have a lot of fun in those games. It's when you're out there and you're battling and things are physical, I find a lot of fun. I like to hit people. That's why I play football, right? So I found it to be a lot of fun, and just that the battle there. But it was definitely, yeah, it was definitely physical and fun.
2-0 on the season, now number 12 in the rankings. I know that the rankings is Caleb Hayes put out, you know, he's not buying into any of that, doesn't care about any of it. He's a football player, and I'm sure that's kind of the consensus with a lot of guys. Does that does it amplify maybe the pressure, though, having that number next to the name, and as you guys get ready now for this Oregon matchup against another top 25 team?
Yeah, absolutely. Rankings or no rankings, I feel like BYU always has a fairly large target on our back, especially when we're ranked. And so I think just being aware of that. But again, not letting it affect how you prepare, how you play. It's just another game, right? It's another game to go to prepare for, to go win. Looking at this Oregon game, they're good offense, plenty of talent, good coaches. At the end of the day, it's just another game that we have to go win, right? That we have to go and we have to prepare and put a product on the field that that is gonna, you know, bring us the victory. And so I think our guys are really good at tuning that out, right? It's just staying focused on what we're there to do, which is play football and kick butt. So
this week, I put out a tweet asking some of our listeners and some of the followers on social media some questions for this episode of the podcast, because we want you, the fans, to interact and connect with Tyler throughout this BYU football season. One of the questions coming in, how is the team prepping to avoid coming out flat after a big win versus Baylor?
Yeah, that's everyday preparation. Honestly, when you look at it, most sports teams, right? So when you have an emotional game, you normally tank after. You know, most teams do. You have a really emotional game, you know, plenty of adrenaline, all you're feeling all the emotions game after, right? Yeah, you tank. For us, it's just been, again, it's just back to the basics. Maybe people get sick of hearing this, but honestly, it's, hey, we have a job to do, right? And not just like a job to do, but we're going to have fun doing it. But when you're looking at it, it has to be, okay, we know, right? You got to be aware that, you know, you may be feeling a little bit too good or a little too high, a little too low. You know, you got to be able to balance yourself out and then just go to work, right? Work's never going to fail. And so you got to go and you got to put in the preparation and then just trust in your preparation. And as long as you put the work in and put the preparation in, come game day, you'll be fine. And so for us, I think that's the biggest emphasis is, hey, last week's last week. This is a new week, new opponent. We got to put in the work. We got to get ready. And when it's time to play, we got to play.
How important this week, and this is another question coming in from Cole. He asked, or he or she, I guess I'm assuming there's no profile picture, so I shouldn't assume anymore. But Cole asked, Third down defense. How important is that this week?
Super. Third down defense is super important. Last week we saw a little bit different offense, right? A team that maybe is more likely to go for it on fourth on fourth down. Oregon's not necessarily quite that type of offense. So when it comes down into third and medium, third and long situations, we've got to get off the field, right? We've got to if they're doing drop back, if they're running screens, if we've got to be aware of what's coming and perform on those third downs, especially those third and longs, right? We like those third and long situations. Gives us more time and more opportunity to get off the field. But when we do get those opportunities, we've got to capitalize. We've got to get in the backfield. We've got to wreak havoc, TFL, sack, hit QB hit, QB hurry, whatever it is, right? To affect the pass, affect the run, so that we can get off the field and give our offense the ball back. That's the whole goal of defense, right? Is honestly, you want to spend as few snaps on the field as possible. As much as that like sucks to say, because you're like, no, I want to play a bunch, but it's like your whole objective is to get rid of your own playing time. So honestly, yeah, just getting off the field, giving the offense the ball back.
How last Saturday, that atmosphere at Lavelle Edwards Stadium was top shelf. I mean, I've been going to BYU games since 1995, and I try to not get caught up in hyperbole and knee-jerk reactions, but it feels like every year now, Arizona State last season, the Baylor game, it feels like these atmospheres are just growing. Like, maybe speak to your thoughts of that atmosphere and what it did for the defense to have that behind you.
Absolutely. In reference to ASU, that was one of the craziest games I've ever played in. Yeah. Arizona State last year. That was wild. And so then for this year to come in, and I agree with you, I don't think it's an exaggeration. I think the atmosphere just is getting better. It's growing.
More students, it feels like, are sports fans. I mean, I think that's safe to say at BYU. I think about a decade ago, that wasn't always the case. And I just feel like there's a bigger investment in the sports from the student population, the fans, and away you go now.
Oh, I totally agree. So, yeah, I'm right there with you saying that Baylor atmosphere, yeah, probably, in chalk, that's number one, home attendance, home fan engagement. I don't know, call it what you want. But the place was rocking. People were excited. The energy was incredible. And that's a lot of fun to play in. Just because, again, you're out there playing, you're having fun and battling, especially in a close game. You're just battling, and so everyone's just waiting to see what happens. So it's a lot of fun.
Autzen Stadium is known to be kind of loud, and it gets really loud. It's one of the louder places out west. Still not a sellout yet. What's the mindset as a defensive player going into an environment where you're not going to probably hear the sound as much because they're going to stay quiet for the offense, but maybe just the approach to going into a venue where you don't have the fans behind you completely?
I think it's something we're used to. We've over the past couple of years, we've been into some really hostile environments, And so I think we're ready, I don't think we're going to see anything or find anything that surprises us. There's going to be some crazy fans, no doubt. You know what I mean? And it's going to be loud and, whatever. But at the end of the day, again, we're just up there. We're up there to play football and to have fun. And I think as long as we focus on just doing what we do, right, just having fun with our guys, just having fun with the boys out on the field, just going and playing football, doing what we love. And just, again, yeah, ignoring that noise, the people, as hard as it may be, right, just staying focused on the game, what we're doing, staying in the moment, not getting caught up in chit-chat or smack talk. It's just going to be a lot of fun, and yeah, it won't affect us too much, I hope,
Oregon scored 3 points in their week one game against Georgia, the defending national champs, and then last week they put up a 70-piece on Eastern Washington. What do you kind of make of this team? Because they almost feel like, at times, even a bigger mystery than USF was going into week one.
Totally. I think everyone says this, right? The teams change the most. They improve the most from week one to week two, yep. Right? So week one, first time out there, you're throwing a product on the field, seeing how it goes, and then week two, you're like, all right, things either really, they went well or they really didn't. for Oregon, I think for them, that was week one, is they were like, hey, that's not how we had envisioned things going. So week two, of course, you know, they came back, want to make a resounding statement, want to make sure their offense is clicking. But at the same time, I think tough games are good to play because they keep you in that mentality of having to battle, right? And so we'll see how Oregon comes out this week, honestly. I think it's a little tougher to maybe keep that intensity and that energy when you're playing a team that you can put up 70 on, right? You know what I mean? It's not the same where, you know, you finish a game, right, double overtime. You know, you're battling all game with another really good team, and then you know, the next week, some of that carries over because you're still in that. It was a battle. It's going to be a battle instead of, yeah, we just cruised these dudes. You know, I played a quarter or two quarters and, you know, we put up 70. So we'll see how they come out. You know, we'll see if they're flat. We'll see if they've got intensity. I think they're going to come to work and they're going to come to play. No doubt about that. But, I think maybe we have a little bit of an advantage there. Having played a really good team, you know what I mean? You stay kind of on your P's and Q's. So
how valuable has it been for the defense, the success of the secondary? Like, what is, like, when you talk about 111th on this defense, Elisa's leaning into the no-name defense is what he's calling it. The secondary, though, feels like they're better than I've seen in many years at BYU. The ability to play man, that has never been a common trait for BYU secondaries. Can you speak to what the role of that secondary and how good they are and what they do to maybe help you guys and what you do in the trenches?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our defense is a really cohesive unit this year. In the past few years that I've been around and on the team, and we've had some good defenses, no doubt. Yep. But I think things have really melded together this year, especially in the back end there with the secondary. Like you said, I think a lot of it speaks to just the talent of the guys that we have back there. And their discipline, right? They've worked their butts off. They've prepared really well for this season to be able to play like this. Really talented individuals that, you know, that it's not, doesn't come overnight, right? So they've really worked their butt off. And then I think that also just melds in with the linebackers, right? Who are really just the glue between us and the secondary. The linebackers, you know, we have a veteran linebacker group that they know how to kind of bring those two groups together. So the D-line, even though we may be doing something completely different than what the back end's doing, it still works, right? So maybe, you know, they're – honestly, the D-line, we don't really care about coverages, right?
Yeah.
We don't get cover zero, cover three, whatever it is, right? We don't care. Yep. We're going to go chase the quarterback, yep, right? We're going to go get the ball carrier. But I think A lot of our defensive synchrony this year has to do with our DBs just being ready and balling out. We have put the work in, and then I think it says a lot about our linebackers and just their presence on the field and how good they are at making sure that everyone, you know, we're all on the same page. You know, we're doing, even though we may, you know, be doing different things, we're doing what we need to do in order to make sure the defense is rolling. So
our teammates on the defense side or throughout the team, are they surprised by the way that Max Tilley's played, or is this kind of like, yeah, welcome to the party, everyone? This guy's been balling for a long time.
It's a welcome to the party. Max is an absolute dog. Like, he just, I think Mad Max is the perfect nickname for him. I've seen that all over it. I think it is perfect. He's just he's an absolute bull, and he gets it done, man. We've seen that the past couple of games. He just gets it done. He's just that dude. He's really fast, really physical, and smart, right? Can read the field and makes plays. And so, yeah, everyone, welcome to the party. Yeah, Max is a dog.
Fisher Jackson in the post game after Baylor said, you guys want to shake up college football this year. And I bring that up because he's your fellow edge, you know, defensive end. Is that kind of the feeling right now? You guys want to just shake it up and cause some havoc in college football?
Dude, why not? Why not? You know what I mean? Honestly, I think we're just going to keep working our butts off and doing everything we can, right, into our in our power to go out and win games. we know who we are and you know what we've put in and I think we're just gonna keep doing that, right? We're just gonna play. We're just gonna keep playing tough, physical football on the defensive side of things and see where it takes us. And yeah, I we've talked about it before. Dudes definitely have a chip. You know, love and learning, that's our culture, but that doesn't mean we can't carry a little bit of a chip, I don't think. Especially, you know, on the D line, the defense is, as a whole unit, I think guys, yeah, have that chip, and it's not going anywhere.
Love and learning, I instantly thought of Jake Oldroyd. How has the team rallied around him this week?
Yeah, Jake's a veteran, man. Jake's a veteran, and he gets along with everyone on the team, right? He's been around for a while. He pretty much knows everyone, and everyone loves Jake. And so after, you know, what happened with the Baylor game, I mean, it's just tough. It's tough. You know, you're in the spotlight, and it's not something that can go unnoticed, right? Like, yeah. You know, maybe an offensive player misses a block, right? And it can kind of go unnoticed, and that's one snap, right? Or a defensive player, right? You miss a tackle, but someone else cleans it up so they don't get the first down, right? You just kind of – you got to just slip into the night, right? No one really pays that, like honestly, like that's how it happens. But in that situation, I mean, it's all eyes on Jake. And so that's a lot of pressure. But the team, yeah, everyone loves Jake. And no one – it's not like anyone's held it against him or has been bitter. It's just been, yeah, hey, wait.
Won the game.
Yeah, honestly, like, we won the game. It's not a big deal. You took your snaps. We all took our snaps. And as a team, we won the game. And so, no one's blaming. There's nothing like that there. Honestly, yeah, without Jake, we wouldn't have been in the position to win the game. You know what I mean? Sure. And so, yeah, it's Jake, he's a veteran, and like he put out, it's for him, it really is on to the next kick, on to the next game. Yeah, he's a pro, so he just, you know, he moved on and you know, is absolutely nailing field goals in practice this week. It's like no problem. So yeah, it's been good.
This week, BYU and Oregon kickoff at 1:30. Extended pregame on KSL News Radio begins at 10 a.m. I'll come to you live from Eugene, and it's going to be a big one as we wrap this thing up, Tyler. In maybe not necessarily keys, but just the feeling of what's going to take to pull out a victory in Oregon, because I know that the players and the team doesn't want to look ahead, but you get this one, there's going to be a lot of talk about this BYU team. So this is a big game.
Yeah. For sure. I think we were in a very similar position last year as well. As you know, we had a couple tough opening games. I think for us, when it comes to this weekend, we just got to go play. Maybe it sounds done. I hope I'm not boring everyone. Maybe I'm just saying the same things over and over again.
You're a BYU football player. You can say anything, and they'll be like, "That is the greatest bit of news I've ever heard." I can say, "Hey, they just got to come out and play BYU football." They say, "Mitch, just shut your mouth. Let a football player say it." But you say it, that slaps a little different, Tyler.
All right. Well, that's what I'm going to say. That is exactly what I'm going to say. Is we just have to come out and we just have to play our football. that is the key. Keys to this weekend: we got to come out, we got to play fast, we got to play physical. That's BYU football. We just got to come play BYU football, and I think we're gonna beat the pants off of them. So
the most pressing question, though: who's better, the Duck or Cosmo?
Oh, Cosmo, easily. You don't see the Duck doing Cosmo stunts. No way. I haven't seen the Duck jump out of an airplane, parachute onto the. No. You're not seeing him do that.
You saw that in fall camp. What were you thinking? Probably what in the world? I'm seeing our school mascot jumping out and parachuting in.
Yeah, that was wild, man. Our dunk team, our stunt team, they go crazy, man. I'll throw that out there. I don't know if there's another, you know, dunk team, stunt team out there that can compete, man. Cosmo and crew they're top notch. So yeah, definitely taking Cosmo over the Duck.
Do you ever in those timeouts, the Costa Vita Cosmo stunt, do you ever in the huddle look over there and go, "Oh my gosh, he's doing that this week"? Like, if it's an Idaho State game, no offense to Idaho State, but those moments where you're like, hey, whoa, like Cosmo's doing that. Like, this guy's nuts.
Hey, there's always some downtime, right? You're sitting up, you're just sitting on the bench looking up at the board, TV timeout. They're like, oh, he's backflipping through a fire, or they're throwing him like 30, like this past, like last week, they're throwing him like 30 feet in the air off this platform and he's double backflipping. Like, yeah, dude, they do some crazy stuff. So, yeah, definitely catches my eye.
Duck's pretty funny, but Cosmo definitely the number one mascot without fail. And, Tyler, I feel like this has been the number one podcast, it feels like, each week. It's been awesome each and every week talking to you, getting the latest on BYU football and you. So, speedy, hopefully a day-to-day, and wish you a quick recovery so you can get get ready full strength, because I know anyone's going to have nicks and bruises throughout the season, so keep on with the speedy recovery there. And again, BYU and Oregon coming up 1:30 kick this Saturday, and you can listen to it on KSL News Radio and watch on Fox, and we will be back next week, myself and Tyler Batty, here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.